All right, here we go.
Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. If you strive for more health, energy, success, more peace, clarity, a purpose, maybe you're looking for a competitive edge, mindset, or just higher quality relationship, or heck, maybe you just need a positive message to lift you up. This podcast explores the knowledge, skills, hacks, and strategies needed to master self, master craft, and accomplish any mission. I'm Dr. William Curtis, and my co-host, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Story of the United States Marine Corps, love exploring lifestyle, nutrition, fitness, human performance, and everything in between. As we journey through our world, we promise to share valuable tools, pearls that we gather from books, interviews, and our busy professional careers. Buckle up. This is the WFO Life Podcast. Hello, folks. This is Dr. William Curtis. I'm here with my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Story, and we are introducing the first episode of our podcast designed to inspire all humans to be the best versions of themselves. We'd like to accomplish this through case studies in the human condition, and we hope to serve as a conduit or funnel for powerful information that we gather and compile. Things that range from lifestyle design, fitness, nutrition, mindset, human performance. We love to delve into topics on leadership and just everything in between. Each episode, we hoped, will provide some practical tips, tactics, and kind of longer-term strategies for helping you become the best possible self. Our interests are super broad, and I think this, I hope, will have some appeal for you, and I hope you'll share this with others. So we want to get started today by just kind of briefly introducing ourselves and just kind of jumping into some basic premises on what we would like to cover in this podcast. So I'm going to start introducing Lieutenant Colonel Story. Chris, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Thanks, Doc. So a little bit about me. Military has been a big portion of my adult life. Been in about 17 years. Before that, I ran a successful business for 4 or 5 years outside of college. So pretty much between managing myself and people in the business world and managing myself and people, obviously, in the military world, pretty much spent, the better part of the last 20 plus years, trying to lead myself and people in an effective way. So a lot of scar tissue built up from those experiences, So I think that one of the things, I've always been a people person, so I'd like to share some of that scar tissue and also some of the successes and how I and my teams have come about that so that other people can hopefully benefit from it and avoid some of that scar tissue. So that's just a little tidbit about me.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and I know you to be a very strong leader, obviously. And I think that's something that, that scar tissue is stuff that, I like to think that I like to learn from what others are doing, and it's important to see the scars that are under other people and learn from that. So I know that's a metaphor and everything, but I think you are a wealth of knowledge, and I think you're being pretty modest with your background there. So I think as time goes on, we'll get into unlock that and crack some secrets out of you.
Yeah, one of the things that's funny, you mentioned that the scar tissue thing that just kind of came about, but I was talking to another leader in the military yesterday, who just took over as the commanding officer of, probably 800 or 1,000 Marines. And he had recently gone through a divorce and was a single dad. And it was kind of a powerful moment between he and I, because I shared when I was in a key position that, my wife was battling breast cancer. And I was very transparent about it, with the teams that I led in a couple of key positions in that squadron. And he said, he had shared in one of his introductory speeches to his Marines that, putting it out front that he was a single dad and he had just gone through a divorce, because his wife was having honestly mental health issues that he couldn't get through. And so I think that, it allowed him to bond with his people on a deeper level. And so I think that, it was a powerful moment between he and I, because I felt the same thing when I shared, instead of keeping it secret, which, is maybe the natural human thing to do. And I think the military almost drives that home with us, saying, this is our extended family, because we may be called to go to combat, and have to do some pretty difficult things with each other. And so sharing that with my Marines at the time, that my wife was going through cancer and that I was going to, do my best to dedicate time to her and my family, and also accomplish the missions that we had before us, really helped to bond with those people, versus trying to be the untouchable leader that, everything's perfect, he's got a good job, a good position, family, and, the 2.3 children, kind of thing. But honestly, sometimes showing your soft underbelly, even in a military leadership sense, really helps your people say, hey, I'm dealing with those same types of problems. And if he or she can, still perform, in a high performance way, while dealing with that in their position, then I can surely do it in my position. So I think that was a powerful thing that just came up yesterday.
Absolutely. And while you were telling me that, I was thinking that's what you just described is authenticity. And it's true both, obviously, in the military and in a strong leadership positions, it's good to be authentic, but it's true for in every relationship across the board. People are more successful when they're authentic about who they are with people around them, what they need, what they have to offer, what they can and can't do. So that's pretty powerful. And I think probably we'll tie into our concept or our topic for today as we get into that. I guess since you've done a little bit of a high point intro, let me talk about myself a little bit and why I'm doing this. Again, my name is Dr. William Curtis. I am a board-certified family physician, so I am trained to take care of all ages, kind of primary care medicine. I've got a lot of ER and urgent care experience as well. I like to think of myself as a healer and a teacher. And so I've actually been in the sort of public eye as far as a teacher. I've blogged, I've done a little bit of podcasting and some videos and things like that on a website called nrgtribe.com. And I've been doing that about 6 to 8 years. I just find it a really healthy outlet for me. I'm constantly researching health, fitness, lifestyle, human performance topics. And it's something that, I don't know, I just feel compelled to teach other people. I when you find something that's positive or that works for you, it just seems natural to want to share that with everyone else. I come from a long line of teachers. I have many family members, especially on my mother's side, that are master teachers at collegiate levels and all kinds of different levels of teaching. And it just comes naturally. I just want to teach and I want to explore and share information. I'm constantly absorbing new information. And I think it, I've got a family and I run a farm. I like to grow locally grown pasture raised animals. We make that available both in the clinic that I run, and also, to our community. I think it's very important that, nutrition and how that ties in with health. So I think as we get into our, podcasting, career here, I think what you're going to see is a lot of that come through. I've got just this wide, broad interest in a lot of different topics, and I'd like to bring that forward to everyone that listens to this. So that's just, I guess, highlights for me, Chris, and certainly these will come out as time goes on. Why don't we talk about, something that kind of, I don't know, I think we were sitting having a beer and talking about different things we might be interested in talking about. And one of the things that I think you shared that I thought was huge and maybe will serve as a premise, not to lock us into one thing we can do with this podcast, but you talked about something, the concept, of mastering yourself, mastering your craft, and accomplishing any mission. That's kind of this overlying theme that maybe it's a leadership theme for you or a personal leadership. Can you kind of open that conversation and then let's just see where that goes, because I think it's kind of a place that we probably it's probably where this started and why we decided let's start doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of funny that the scar tissue thing and that conversation I had with my buddy popped in, because I think, I've had, like everybody, in their own way, an interesting life. And I'm sure my life story that, is a soap opera in some cases will hopefully come out. But, I think the mastering yourself thing started with my father. And I don't think I came to appreciate it, honestly, on a deep philosophical, really mindset until probably the last few years. As I get into my 40s and as my kids get older and have different life challenges. But, my dad was a Korean War era Marine, that, I know Bill, the doc here got a chance to, be his doctor, for a little bit, towards on the end of his life and, helped him through some things. But, he came from humble beginnings in, Alabama, and, it's really, really amazing that I didn't notice this sooner, but he was probably, in my mind, the epitome of somebody that was able to, through really discipline and mastering themselves, a lot of the things that he learned in the Marine Corps was able to carry him through a lot of different personal and professional challenges, really with like a stoic mindset. And he probably never even, read anything about the Stoics, just because of his, upbringing and essentially worked his butt off his entire life until he died, honestly. But I think, the modicum of successes that he had in his life all came from, mastering himself and basic discipline. And on the flip side, unfortunately, I learned through a lot of my friends and family members that had, severe, drawbacks and deficiencies in their life. A lot of it was honestly self-induced, drugs, alcohol, marriages and divorces and, prison time even, and I think as I reflected on, the good, the bad, the ugly of that, I was like, it all, came down to something that a lot of us, honestly don't want to admit, that by, mastery of the basics of, taking care of yourself as a human, when that goes out the window, we have a lot of control over the successes or failures, and I think there's somewhere a quote we can pull out in a little more detail down the line, but it essentially says, what scares people the most is not that they don't have control of their circumstances, is that they, deep down know that they've had ultimate control of the, big, the high highs or the low lows just by, not making good basic choices, in life. And so I think as I became a business leader and then a military leader, I came to that realization that if you don't master yourself first, and I know, Dr. Curtis can talk a lot about, his experience in the medical field, but, basics of, eating right, getting rest, looking out for your mental health, everything else, that comes upon us in life becomes infinitely, you know, exponentially more difficult if you don't have the basics taken care of. So that's like a high, you know, higher level view of what mastering yourself.
Yeah, and I love that. And the idea of mastering self, I will say that we're all working on this. Hell, I'm working on mastering myself every day. We all have weaknesses. We all have blind spots. And I guess it helped me with this, but I think when you say mastering self, I break this down myself into sort of a further layer, mind, body, spirit. So I think if you look at when you look at how am I going to make myself, how am I going to control my behavior, my thoughts, my patterns, I think that that boils down to with the mind developing knowledge, you know, what kind of knowledge am I going to gain so that I have proper thought and action. That leads to, if you can master yourself, you know what type of work, what you can share with other people, what you can create. This is, you really have a difficult time in any realm of interacting with the rest of the world if yourself is, if your mind, so to speak, is not focused. And then, of course, the mind body, you mentioned briefly physical fitness. How we handle stress, how we, you know, feed and fuel our body. These are all key. And then lastly, spirit. I think these are all areas that when there's a weakness in any of those areas, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It will show up as how we're able to master ourselves and then interact with the rest of the world.
Yeah. Perfect. I think that, it's really amazing when, you know, I think a lot of people who've never been in the military or had military people in their families, you know, don't really understand in some cases, like, you know, you mentioned spiritual and mental, you know, awareness and fitness, really. How much, you know, you think about the physical, right? The military, you know, you got to get up early and run, and, you know, there's all these dangerous machines that you master to, you know, impose your will on the enemy. But, you know, a lot of it is really more mind and spiritual because of, you know, you think about, you know, preparing for the most extreme of any human endeavor, right? I mean, you know, some people, you know, not to discount it, but, you know, going in to give the biggest presentation of their life at work or whatever. But I mean, I think the preparation aspect that the military gave me, you know, really takes that to a higher plane, because a lot of it, you know, some of the things that you and I both have talked about in terms of mastering yourself is just like preparing for the circumstances that are inevitably going to happen. And I really think the challenging thing and the failures that people set themselves up for is that they become victims of their own circumstances versus imposing their will on circumstances, you know? And so in the military, it really has, you know, driven that home, you know, and in terms of, from the time you wake up, I mean, honestly, you know, and I've been a victim of this both, you know, in my young adult life and even in the military. It's just like, you know, starting out with, okay, you know, what time do I wake up in the morning? Oh, I went to bed late and, you know, drank too much or whatever, or I've been getting habitually not enough sleep, so I'm going to sleep in 30 minutes tomorrow, right? And so, and that starts the slippery slope of bad circumstances in a lot of cases, and you let life events impose their will on you because that 30 minutes that you really should have gotten up earlier put you in like stress mode to start the day. You know, you start out in fight or flight because you're like, oh crap, you know, I didn't set up the coffee pot, and so I'm already 30 minutes into it, and I'm gonna have to take 5 extra minutes to make coffee that's gonna run me for the day. You know, and versus like, you know, hey, I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier. 30 minutes of sleep is not going to, you know, make me or break me. But, you know, I'll have a little time to, and I'm going to set the coffee pot up so that when I wake up, I can get a little, you know, fuel in my system, wake up and get my things ready for the day. So I think, you know, in the military, you're forced to say, you know, I got to get up, you know, 2 hours, but especially as a leader, right? I got to, you know, take care of myself so that I'm prepared to get up 2 hours earlier than everybody else, you know, and, you know, check the, you know, most recent intel reports and have all this figured out so that when, you know, my subordinates are up and about and come to see me, you know, I already have, you know, set things for the day, you know. So it's like kind of like we would talk about the enemy, but, you know, imposing your will on the days and life events versus letting circumstances impose their will on you, if that makes sense.
It does. You know, one of the things I was thinking as you were talking is, like, especially from in the military, I mean, this is true, I guess, across the board in life, but in military, one of the consequences of not knowing yourself or why you do what you do, not mastering yourself, knowing the reasons why you get up and do what you do every day, is you will, you know, the nature of military is you may be in conflict and you may, you know, be in a situation where you have to make a choice about something very dangerous, or to save a comrade, or you know, make a decision that might, you know, potentially end your life. There's a certain level of focus and understanding of who you are, what you are, and why you're doing what you're doing. And if you don't have those thoughts, I mean, just again, under mastering self, under mind, just your mind, not, we're not even getting into spirit and physical preparation. If your mind isn't right, or you don't understand who and what you are, and why you do what you do every day, that really can put you in a position where your performance or your decisions or your actions on how you, you know, you prepare for your battle or whatever can be really, really thrown off.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny when you were saying that, it reminded me of, you know, especially the Marine Corps is really good about, you know, core values and in our basic training, whether it's officer or enlisted, you know, inculcates, you know, leadership principles and leadership traits. And the number one leadership principle is exactly what you say. It's know yourself and seek self-improvement. You know, that simple. And a lot of it is, you know, and knowing yourself, I mean, that's a tough thing, because that's like self-awareness, right? And most of us, even if you think you're reflective, you want to overlook your, you know, bad parts and, you know, trump up your good parts. But like you said, when your life and other people's lives that are in your hands are at stake, a lot of times, if you don't have that self-awareness in all those areas, you know, mind, body, and spirit, then you're not going to be your best. And I think that can easily translate into people's lives. And that's why I think, you know, you look at a lot of successful, you know, books, podcasts, speakers right now, a lot of them have military backgrounds, because like I said earlier, when you're preparing for the most extreme of human endeavors, I mean, that'll sober your ass up pretty quickly. Right. I mean,
yeah, it's a crucible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you're not waking up just to go give a presentation. You're like, if I don't have my shit together, you know, tonight and in the morning, you know, I might have to be writing letters home and accompanying somebody and, you know, to see their family for the last time in a wooden box, you know. And that sobering reality is, you know, kind of drives you, or it should drive you to figure yourself out.
So, Chris, on another level, so here's my, you know, in my world, you're giving the, like, crucible, you know, peak experience that a human could, you know, where maybe under military circumstances or in combat, you have all these life or death situations. It's a little bit, it can be similar. In my world, I'm a physician, so whenever I work with patients, I'm always amazed at how little insight people have into their own behaviors and own actions. You know, let's talk nutrition. You know, people come in all the time. I want to lose weight. I want to do, you know, I want to have, you know, better energy, or I can't, you know, I'm fatigued and tired. And if you don't, I spend a lot of time trying to crack open and show them how their own behaviors, whether it be from fitness or nutritional choices and the discipline that they take with those things, it plays out in human disease. And so that's it's kind of a slow deterioration. You know, God gave us a lot of reserve in our bodies, but it's still the same thing. Little decisions day after day, knowing why we choose the actions that we do, reflecting on our, you know, and being honest with ourselves about our behaviors, whether that be, you know, our physical activity or the nutritional choices we make. It all plays out in our health and the success that we have. Because if you don't have good health, if you don't make good decisions in life day to day, I think what ends up happening is it starts to define the action that you can take in your life. If you're tired because you eat poorly and are inactive, well, then you're going to be less likely to take on new challenges. You're going to be less likely to try to, you know, take on a, you know, maybe a new project, or maybe you can't give your best because your best, your mind is foggy and your thinking is unclear. And that's just huge for a person's health.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny from a non-medical, like layman's perspective in that respect, it's like, I think everybody can relate to when you've had the flu or a bad cold, right? I mean, almost nothing, or if you have, for God's sakes, if you have a stomach virus or something, almost nothing else in the world matters if you have that acute sickness going on, right? I mean, yep. It's like thankfully, I haven't had to deal with any, you know, chronic diseases or any life-threatening diseases, but obviously my wife has. It's humbling, you know, when you think about, you know, I could be, you know, this person, you know, and I mean, even in our cases, you know, you're a physician, you know, I'm an officer in the Marine Corps, you know, none of that matters and nothing that happened before that point matters if you're not healthy, you know? And so, so I think that's powerful, and anybody can think about it on an acute, you know, temporary term, like when you have the flu, you're pretty much, you know, mission ineffective, you know, in all basic life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I guess everything we've been kind of talking about is underscoring the idea of mastering self. And I think that a great portion of the things I know we've kicked around in private conversations that we want to share with others, that I think as we roll out our different podcasts and things like that, I think we're going to get into some really hardcore examples of that. You know, I know I read a lot of philosophy, a lot of spiritual stuff. I read obviously tons on, you know, how to improve bodily health. And there's just a wide array of places we can go with that. And I think the idea, the premise of mastering self will probably come up over and over and over throughout our, you know, experience with this format.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what you mean by mastering craft? That's kind of like the next level. Okay, let's imagine that we sort of have ourselves squared away, if you will, with regards to mastering ourself, you know, mind, body, spirit, and we've got, you know, some kind of processes in place to keep ourselves on track. What do you mean by mastering craft? Where does that take you in your mind?
So, you know, that can go a lot of different directions, but, you know, for me, both in the business and the military world, you know, you think about being a professional in all the things that you do. I mean, you can start where, you know, a lot of us that were athletes at, you know, any given time in our lives, especially competitive athletes, you think about, you know, being a professional athlete, you know, is a good example everybody can understand. You know, I think a lot of people growing up, you play a sport that you can watch on TV and you're like, as you're getting better at it, and you're like, man, that would be really cool if I could, you know, master this sport or what I do to the point where I can do it for a living, you know, and I can get paid to do it. And so that's like the kid example. But I think a lot of times what I've seen both in being effective and ineffective is we oftentimes don't, you know, take that level of, you know, goal setting or really seriousness about, you know, our jobs, you know, how we earn a living or being a father, being a spouse, right? So it's like what you do and the level you do it at is another thing that's largely within our control, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to play on TV or, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer, but, you know, whether you're a laborer or whether you're a teacher or whether you're a stay-at-home mom, you know, mastering those things that further define you. Like you said, if you have your stuff together in mind, body, spirit, that's a really good foundation. Everything else, you know, it's almost like in an IT perspective, it's like hardware and software, right? You know, I mean, a lot of the stuff mm-hmm. that makes you who you are, mind, body, and spirit, you know, that's your hardware. That's your potential, right? Then some of the software you put into it, some of the apps that you put into it, would be like mastering your craft, right? And one of the things
that makes sense. That, I like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think just to wrap up the overview of it is one of the things as I kind of, you know, honed in my talk, my first sit down with the people that my subordinates that work for me, you know, I put it out there like that. It's like, you know, you have the ability to help this unit and help the Marine Corps be the very best in the world at what we do, you know. And a lot of times, like the hopes and dreams you have as a kid, you think about that. Like, I want to be the lawyer arguing before the Supreme Court. I want to be the doctor separating, you know, conjoined twins or whatever, you know. But, you know, I mean, a lot of times that's the, you know, top 0.001%, and then you know, reality sets in. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't be, you know, the best in the world or close to it in what endeavor that you chose to be what you do for a living. Or like I said, even if you're a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, I mean, you're like, hey, I can do things that, you know, help me and my kids, you know, be thriving human beings. So,
right. I was making a couple of notes. When I think about mastering craft, from my own perspective as a physician, I think about that as the necessary desire, the necessary effort, if you will, to be a lifelong learner. I think to master anything means to be an expert and to get the most and learn the most you can about whatever activity, whether that's a work, you know, or a sport or, you know, field of endeavor, any of those things. You want to have a growth mindset. I think that's huge to approach anything like, what can I learn from this? How can I maybe make it better? Honing and refining yourself and your activities. And then always have this expansive or you know, expanding mindset, giving your best effort on every single thing you do. I think that ties into everything. I mean, if you were an executive and you're trying to lead others or, you know, be the best investor you can, or if you're an athlete, you're trying to get little refinements out of everyday training. I know this is something I didn't mention that, but you know, I've been a soccer coach. I was an athlete in college for years. I was a runner and ran for Baylor University. And what I noticed working with some of the you know, around some of the top athletes in the world, you look at a guy, one of my teammates was a guy named Michael Johnson, the guy that wore the golden shoes in the Atlanta Games and set all kinds of records. He's an amazing guy. Yeah, I remember watching, talk about mastering your craft. I remember watching where they took tape measures and they would take a tape measure and run it out about 50 feet. And from where his starting blocks were, this is what they did in training. And they would take masking tape and they would put marks on the ground where his feet struck the ground. And what he was doing is he was trying to get an exact measurement for the first 50 to 100 steps of his race in the 200 meters. You want to talk about a guy that's trying to shave off milliseconds off of his time. You know, his goal for the season was to drop, you know, 2/100ths of a second off of his best time ever. This is what they're doing. They're literally, and they would practice that 50 times in a row, you know, quick starts, and the coach would film it and they would mark where his steps were and they would measure it. And okay, this is what we defined as a perfect race, is if your feet strike the ground at these intervals. Man, talk about mastering craft. I mean, is that the level that is, you know, the level that goes to is crazy.
That's incredible. It actually, when you said that, it reminded me of, it's, you know, I'm a big football fan, like a lot of folks were down where we're from. But it took me a while to understand the concept of how in the NFL they have the first like 25 plays or something in a lot of cases are scripted. Right. And you know, they have these big cards now they look at. It's got all these contingencies and different situations. But I think the scripting of plays, it's kind of the same thing. And it ties into what we talked about earlier about kind of imposing your will on a situation versus letting events dictate, you know. And so what you're saying about what Michael Johnson did, you know, honing his craft and, you know, knowing, hey, if I do this, the result is going to take care of itself. And that's the same thing like scripting plays where it's like, hey, I know what we're good at. I know what we've practiced. We everybody's got a mindset, you know, and it's predictability. After that, sometimes, you know, or, you know, maybe they shift and say, hey, you know, we've run five of these similar plays and nothing has worked against this team. But at least having, you know, we always like to say in the military, no plan survives first contact with the enemy, you know, so you can't get so you can't get so wrapped around your plan that you're like, you know, going to die on the hill because you refuse to adapt. But I think there's power in, you know, routines, and there's power in saying, hey, you know, I know what I've practiced and what I'm good at, you know, and this is, you know, my default position, you know. And so what you're saying about, you know, mastering your craft to that level is, you know, if you do it consistently, you know, whether it be shaving a millisecond off of a race or, you know, being successful in the first half of a football game, you know, you improve the chances of having a good result, I think.
Well, and what you just described is also, you know, the detailed preparation that leads to success. So part of mastering craft is understanding the level of commitment and preparation that's required to be really, really, really good at something. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, we started this by saying our first little podcast was going to be a mastering self, mastering craft. And then the last part of that was accomplishing any mission. I think that one's fairly self-evident. I will add to that that I think what that means to me is that I really truly believe humans are put on the earth, first off, just to simply exist, to be. We that's kind of deep, and I'll probably get into that in some other podcast. But what we do, we should be able to choose anything we want to do. And I believe that, you know, people, there's ample examples that I'm sure we'll talk about in the future of people doing so many amazing things. I like to study people like that. I like to explore what's in their mind and their heart and why they do things, because people can do almost anything they want, and that's accomplish any mission, anything they care to do. But you have to have all of those other ingredients in place to achieve that. You rarely will bump into the walls and, you know, just run around stumping your toes on things and accomplish anything significant. So I think that, you know, I guess from my perspective, I think this is a good broad strategy that we should follow with these podcasts, where we're gonna kind of explore different levels in almost like a microscope, get down into the weeds on some of these. I know our private conversations, we bounce around some pretty deep topics and get into the weeds quite a bit. And I think that maybe going forward, I hope this will be helpful for other people. I hope this will be something that maybe we'll get some feedback through the website and on the, you know, from the podcast itself, that this was meaningful for other people, that they start to examine themselves. They start to examine why they do what they do. Are they putting every effort into their craft? Are they really on mission? Are they really even doing what it is they want to be doing? I see a lot of that in my career, where people just don't, they're just sort of existing, and there's no self-reflection. There's no refinement. There's no honing or trying to get better. And I think we're all here to try to, you know, grow while we're here on this earth. And regardless, I don't think there has to be this thing that we have to accomplish or have to achieve some certain level. But I think wherever we started, we should try to make the world a little better. And I guess for me, that kind of wraps up my thoughts on the mastering self and mastering craft and accomplishing any mission. And I really hope that this was valuable for people, and that as we kind of explore topics. Maybe this is something that is meaningful for others.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last thing I'll say on the topic in terms of accomplishing, you know, any mission is, you know, some of the fascinating individuals that I've had a chance to work with in a lot of cases are excellent at simplifying the complexity of things, right? And so I hope that, you know, you and I, like through our good and bad experiences, can help people to simplify and demystify, you know, what it takes to be better than you are or better than you were yesterday. And honestly, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about, you know, a couple of the most extremely successful individuals I've ever seen. And in a lot of cases, they were simplistic in to the point where they were almost binary, like a computer, you know, like ones and zeros. And I actually have a guy, I'll see if I can, if he's still got it, he can send me a picture. In the back of his little notebook, he had a calendar, and he saw it in ones and zeros. He would either put a big check mark at the end of every day on if he thought that day was a win, or an X if it was a loss. You know, and I think, yeah, and it was awesome when you think about it. And I think that's what we're trying to do is like the more checks that you have versus X's, you know, whether you talked about what Michael Johnson did, you know, and I talked about, you know, NFL coaches scripting things. It's like you look back at your week and you look back at your month and you're like, holy shit. You know, I've got 80% X's. You know, what did I just do with that month? What did I do with the week? You know, and I think everybody, you know, intuitively, if you self-reflected like that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, if you didn't work out and you ate like crap and you were stressed out all day, you know, that's definitely an X. But if you, you know, stuck to your morning routine, if you did a little reading, if you worked out and ate right, you know, that's definitely a check. So even if, like, you know, your day went to shit, you had a fender bender, you know, things happen, it's like, hey, you know, some of those things are out of my control, but I was successful, but I was successful at the things under my control, you know? And so I think that, you know, that's what people are afraid of in a lot of cases, you know, me included, is like, you know, you're scared of, daring greatly sometimes because you're like, oh, well, I know I'm going to fail, or I know that I'm not going to do the things I need to. But, you know, it's exciting and scary at the same time when you're like, you know, you look back at all those checks and you're like, wow, you know, I did a lot of good things the past week or the past month. I'm still not where I want to be, but damn it, you know, I'm moving in the right direction. So hopefully yeah. We can, you know, talk to people about just say, hey, you know, we're all in this struggle together and we just want to keep moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Chris, let's wrap this up. I think we did a reasonable job of, I guess we'll give ourselves a check for the first podcast, just trying to get used to this formatting and how we're going to interface, you being in Pennsylvania and I being in Texas, doing this remotely and, you know, kind of carving out time and our busy schedules to get this done. I think we're both passionate about it. And now that we got this sort of introductory one out of the way, I'm kind of excited to get into topics. And so, as we roll out, episodes, I hope, I think our listeners will find that these, you know, we're really going to get some really valuable stuff out there to them. So, I guess let's wrap it up for here and, we'll look forward to putting together another program and get some more information out. We will have show notes, so if there's anything that we mentioned in the show that maybe a website or a topic or something like that that we referred our listeners to, we'll definitely put that in the show notes. So make sure that you maybe follow along there. You might also sign up for the web page if you see the click box where you can put your email in. That way you know every time that we put out a new episode that you'll be able to, you know, get an email notification so you can listen along. And of course, if you see us on iTunes, which is where we hope to plant these podcasts, please give us a review. The more reviews you get, the more relevant our message becomes. So I hope that you will share that information with friends and family or anybody that you think may be helpful for that. So Chris, I'll sign off here and look forward to talking to you again.